When we came up with the idea for Local Matters, we said we need to find someone who could introduce us to all the characters, all the people of the Upper Cumberland that have a unique story to tell. And as we asked around, there was one name that came up over and over again. Get Judy Duke to do it, they said. She knows everybody. Now Judy's stepping away from that role on Local Matters. Is it true? Do you know everybody?
Oh, no, Larry, I don't. But I was born and raised here in Cookeville and very proud of it. I left for a short period of time when I got through school at Tennessee Tech. But I came back home because my future husband, I passed him up in school. We met at Tech, and he laid out a year. Well, he didn't lay out. He took a year off to work and earn some money and then finished up. And so I went as far as Crossville and taught creative dramatics at the Crossville Middle School. That's what it was then. Doesn't even exist today. But that was my first year out. I taught every child in the class or in the school creative dramatics, which was right down my alley. And then got married, came back to school. Well, he finished school and been here ever since.
How would you describe yourself?
Well, most people think I'm an extrovert. I am to somewhat, I would say, somewhat introverted. I like my alone time. And I've told this to lots of people. I like, when I was growing up, my mother used to get concerned about me because I had imaginary friends. I was an only child. And I literally talked for both of us, for the friend and for myself, of course. But I would go into the bathroom and, you know, we create all kind of little worlds for my friend and I. And mother would say, Judy, it's time to come out of the bathroom. And so I would. But I think I'm, if there is such a thing, I'm a little bit extroverted, a lot extroverted maybe, and a little bit introverted. I love people. I love talking to people. I think God has, if I have any talents, I think one of those is you know what an exhorter is, I'm sure you do, to try to help people feel better about themselves. And I think that's one of those God things, you know. And I would describe myself as an exhorter. Of course, we do have some, those of us who are, you know, you listen to me. If you don't listen to me, then I'm moving on to somebody that will, unfortunately. But I enjoy humor. I love to laugh. I can be a worrywart, especially when it comes to my family. But I guess, Larry, that's about all I
someone
can say about myself.
Someone described you as you've never met a stranger.
My dad was that way. My dad could talk to a fence post and love it. So that may be true. I'm not, people don't scare me. And I do enjoy talking. I enjoy talking to people. And I, that may be true to some extent.
What do you enjoy about it?
I enjoy hearing, I'm a history buff, love history, love the history of where I'm from and my whole family and all that. But I enjoy, you know, I've never been to a place and I've been fortunate enough to travel a lot in my life. And I'm always at the front door of the museums, and that I love to hear about people's. That's part of why I directed the museums or managed the museums for the city for the number of years I did, was hearing people I didn't know from Adam, as the saying goes, but they would share their stories with me and how they were connected to Cookeville. But I just enjoy talking, laughing, sharing people's problems, if possible, and trying to help if there's any way that I can, and I don't always, but I like, I just like people, and my daddy was that way. He sold life insurance.
You sort of made Local Matters an oral history of sorts. did you have that going into it, or is that kind of just the way it turned out?
I think No, I really didn't have it in because that's not exactly what I thought you wanted and here at the station. And but it, I guess it's something that's just so much a part of me. And I love history. I love, like I said, the history of where I'm from and the people who made it what it is today here in Cookeville. And we're growing, obviously still growing by leaps and bounds. And a lot of people I brought in were also history buffs. I realized that thinking, oh, they're going to fire me today because I talk too much about history or the theater, which is another love of mine. So, no, that wasn't my plan. My plan was to talk to interesting people in the Upper Cumberland.
But you're painting that mosaic of what I believe, as an outsider who came to this area, that makes it unique, is there are so many people in so many different walks of life that have interesting stories to tell. And many have come here because of the people and because of the ability to live your life the way you want to live it in this community.
That's true. And we have, for a town the size of Cookeville, we have so much to offer here. I know when I was in school at Tech and I chose to live at home, my dad said to, and mom said, you know, we will send you anywhere you want to go to school as long as you keep your grades up. And I says, well, I don't want to share my bathroom. I like having my own private bathroom and my own bedroom. Even though I'm a people person, and I would have probably fit in really well at a dorm, and I spent the night a lot in the girls' dorm back then with various and sundry friends. But anyway, you know, it's just that's part of me, I suppose, is talking and laughing. And
do you ever fear, as someone that loves history too, do you ever fear that we don't focus on history today as much as we should?
Every day. I don't think we do. And I, you know, there have been some things here in this area that I have fought for, if that's the right word. We've got to save this. We cannot let this be destroyed. But some I've been successful with, along with other people, such as yourself, who have been interested in saving history, whether it's a building, whether it's a word of mouth sort of thing. And, you know, I have tried being a school teacher by education, and I did teach for a number of years at Tech and before that on the high school level and the junior high level. But, you know, it bothers me that we don't put a little more emphasis on history in the early years. Listen to Grandma and Grandpa tell you the stories about when they used to walk to Christmas and, I mean, walk to school at Christmas with the only thing they had been given was an orange because that's all the family could afford.
Right.
You know, if you put an orange in front of a child today as a Christmas present, they're going to look at you like, well, you've gone off the deep, I guess. I mean, you know, and you have to get some maturity, and I find that true every day, and I'm an old woman now. You know, I wish I'd listened more to my Grandma Brown, who was from White County, and the stories that she and Grandpa Brown would tell. And some of them I didn't believe that she was telling me, and I found out they were true.
Right.
I do worry about there not being enough emphasis on, you know, history. And if you look at the history of the world in general, we're repeating some of the same mistakes that, you know, I look at the Roman Empire and I think, okay, it collapsed. It was the greatest thing that had ever been in the world at the time. And it collapsed. Well, why? Do you know why? You know, ask yourself those questions. You know, so. But don't get me started too much on that.
I won't. Where did your love of the arts originate?
I think it was an internal thing that God blessed. It was just there from the beginning because I have pictures now that both my parents are gone and passed on of me dressing up in my mother's high heels, and I would put her aprons on. Back kids today don't even know what aprons are. But anyway, I would tie an apron around, and we lived on Walnut Avenue, which was very close to Tennessee Tech. And I would get out on the sidewalk, and my mother has shared this story with me and many others. And we had a three-story house, and they rented the top part of the house out to Tech students, men, mm-hmm. young men. And so they would walk back and forth. There was a lot of people in around us that did the same thing. And I would dress up, put a hat on back when women were wearing hats to church and my white gloves, because it was all my mother's. And I would walk up and down the sidewalk. And just about every Tech student that lived around, not only in our house, but all around us, would ask me questions like, "But where are you going, ma'am?" And I would always say, "I go into Nashville." I couldn't say Nashville. I say Nashville. And so it was just kind of inbred in me, I suppose. But my dad was a great public speaker, just naturally. And I suppose, being an only child, I watched him a lot. And he was a people person, too. Much more so than my mother, although my mother was a hoot. She was a walking honey, as her sisters would call her, before she passed. But anyway, I don't know, Larry. I guess it's just something that was early on. I don't remember when. You know, it just happened.
Did you know, as a teenager, for example, what you wanted to do with your life?
Yes, I did. I loved being on stage. I think you almost have to be a theater buff to understand. It's not an ego thing. It's really not. But there's nothing like being there. There's nothing like the smell of the grease paint. You've heard that saying. But there's the satisfaction that you get when you hear the applause or the laughter. It's a fulfillment. And everybody's not meant for it. I understand that.
Judy Duke is with us as we reflect on her life and career as she steps away from local matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Our conversation with Judy Duke, who is stepping away as our host on Local Matters. She's brought us so many fascinating people, and part of the reason for that is that she in herself is such a fascinating person. Some of you may know her under a different name, or some of you may know the other name and didn't realize it was Judy Duke, which happened in our building recently. A member of our team said, "I had no idea that Judy Duke is Aunt Maddie."
Indeed. I have become her now. When I started her, I was not white-headed. I've been doing Aunt Maddie in 45 years now.
Where did that idea come from?
My mind. I always enjoyed being a little old lady. And I was asked, my husband and I, that the church we were attending were in a couples class, Sunday school class. Of course, we're living in the South, and it either had to have been Church of Christ, Methodist, or Baptist, and it was a Baptist. And so the Sunday school teacher was going to take a hiatus, a very well-known businessman at the time, and they asked me, would I emcee the program? And I told him I would. And the more I thought about it, there had been this little character in my head for many years, floating around. I could see her in my mind's eye. Not Minnie Pearl in that genre, somewhat, but not Minnie Pearl, although I loved Minnie Pearl. not Lucille Ball, but she was one of my heroines, Carol Burnett, all those people who are so well known were just, they fascinated me. I could watch them for hours. So I had this little lady in my head, and instead of Judy Duke showing up, Judy Duke was sick and didn't come, but I was this Sunday school teacher's Aunt Mattie from Dibrell, Tennessee, which is a little wide place in the side of the road. Anyway, that's where he was from. And I got up and nobody knew it was me. And I sat with those people every Sunday, but nobody knew it was me. I came up with a costume, and I'm a collector of wigs for different parts that I've played and characters. And I just did it as his Aunt Mattie. And it was very, all the material was things I knew about him or had found out about him. And we roasted him that night, and word spread. And somebody called and wanted to know how much I charged. And I said, I don't have a set fee. And so I gave them a very low figure, and they doubled it. The night after I performed, they doubled it. So that was kind of one of those signs from God. Well, maybe this is one of those things I can do. And she grew, and I ended up with two agents out of Louisville, Kentucky. And one of them wanted to see me perform, and at Rupp Arena, they had a cavalcade of comedy. And I had my 15 minutes of fame.
Your career as an educator, what do you think of as most rewarding from that?
I'm still reaping rewards from that. I have students that write me notes. And I taught English composition, not my favorite thing to teach, but that was what I majored in, was English. But they write me notes even today. Thank you. You were so much fun in the classroom. And I do try to make it interesting and fun. And when I do a talk on history, I tell the stories that you're not going to read in a history book. I try to. Some of the true things. I spoke not long ago to a group here in town and told them some things about some history here in Cookeville that unless you were involved with the family, you wouldn't have known. And they were fascinated with it. And after it was over, the lady, and I did this as Judy, and the lady came up to me. She said, I have never liked history, but this has been one of the most fun history lessons I've ever had, which I appreciated very much. But, you know, in the classroom, I transitioned from English composition to public speaking and the theater arts, and taught those. And I was aware, you would be surprised how many people have a fear of public speaking. And I always tried to get my students. I think there should be something, I don't know whether you want to call it public speaking, but I think it ought to be on the elementary level in some form. Maybe not having them get I don't care if it's a book report, if it's a story they want to tell, what my family and I did on vacation, get them up in front and let them learn. Because people, I had a Tech football player, was a 300-pounder, big guy, and I had him in public speaking class. He had to have it was required. And he came to me after the semester was over and handed me an $800 bill to the Cookeville Regional Medical Center emergency room. And he said, every time I had one of your dadgum speeches due, I would have an asthma attack and couldn't breathe and had to go to the hospital. So here, this is for you. That was just one example. Here he was, you know, this great big mountain of a guy, and just went all to pieces when he had to get up.
I don't know why, but I think that may be the most common fear.
Mm-hmm.
Of human beings.
It is, just to have to do public speaking. They just, you know, and I tried to make it fun for them. I will do that anytime. Try to make, you know, people, when I was doing the local matters, you know, say, oh, I can't get on my microphone. And some of them honestly couldn't. You know, they'd been on the stage many times, and I would bring them in, and they would look at the microphone, and it would be like, are they going to say anything? I would ask a question, and it was just silence, and then I'd have to come back in. I had one fella just this week that said to me that I had in that had never been on radio. He said, Miss Judy, that's what he calls me, Miss Judy, he said, that was, I had so much fun doing that. And I said, I am so glad, Mike. I am so glad that you did. I said, I wanted, you're an interesting person. What you do is so interesting. And I just thought it was time that somebody recognized you and what it is that you do for people, you know. And I thought, wow, that was worth it.
It's such an interesting dynamic because a lot of people that are in radio are actually introverted.
That's right.
Because you don't have any idea if somebody turns the switch off.
You don't.
Unlike if you go up to a young lady when you're in high school and you ask her out and she says no, that's an instant turn down. But yep. Behind this microphone, it's invisible.
You just don't know. That's right. It is invisible, and you don't know if there's a soul out there listening. You hope there is.
That's right.
You hope somebody gains something, especially from a program like Local Matters. And I really want to thank you and your staff for seeing me through for the time that I did do it. It was a good experience for me, and I enjoyed it and had fun.
When someone comes up to you, as happened in our lobby today, and says, this was the woman who helped me get through speech. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to a teacher?
On a lot of different levels, it means a lot. I was taught years ago, Larry, by a dear friend that I used to could not take compliments. It made me so uncomfortable. And this friend of mine said, Judy, let me tell you something. She said, when somebody compliments you, and I've watched you, and I guess that's the introverted part of me, she said, you get so uncomfortable. And she said, let me tell you what you need to do. And this was a friend at church. And I said, yeah, well, okay, sure, tell me what to do. You know, we were teasing around, and I thought she was kind of teasing with me. But she said, the next time somebody gives you a compliment of any kind, whether it's a student or a somebody you don't even know, says you take that and you just give that right up to God, because whatever someone is complimenting you on has come from him in the first place. And I thought about that. As a matter of fact, it kept me awake one night thinking about that. And I thought, you know, I guess that's true, because some people, we all have gifts and talents. Some people will say to me, I don't have any talents. Yes, you do. I'm sorry, but I'm going to argue with you on that one. When a student comes up to me or anybody and says, oh, that you were so funny, I so enjoyed that, I could sit and listen to you all night or whatever, it's a very humbling thing. But at the same time, I realize that it's really not anything I have done. It's what I've been blessed with by the Creator. Does that answer your question?
That makes sense.
Maybe not what you expected, but
I think we all learned something from that one.
Well, you know, I just thank him. In turn, I thank him for what he's blessed me with, whatever it may be, whether it's cooking the Thanksgiving turkey or the Christmas ham, you know. So,
for those that are bent about being on stage, there's nothing more important than the review. When the review is written about Judy Duke, what do you hope it says?
Wow. Well, I know what my obituary is going to say. She came. She loved life. She lived life to her very best. Now she's gone and she'll be waiting on you in heaven. So live a good life. That's kind of it. You know, I've enjoyed my life. I have. I mean, let me tell you now, there's been some rough spots. But all of us have them. It's being thankful for those people around you who can pull you along when you can't do any more pushing. And they will pull. And it's been a good life. And I've been very blessed. more than I deserve. Not that I haven't made a boo-boos of mistakes, because I have, because there's nobody perfect, but no human anyway. It's, I guess, she done okay. Humbly speaking, she done okay.
Judy Duke, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Larry, for asking me to come talk with you. It's been a blessing, for sure.